I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you along on this Friday, August the 24th. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock. The latest intelligence report on Iraq is forecasting the government there will become increasingly unsteady over the next 6 to 12 months. It concludes Iraqi political leaders remain unable to govern effectively. It also states that while some military progress is being made, with Sunni insurgents taking up the fight against al-Qaeda in some places, the level of overall violence is high, Iraq's sectarian divisions remain, and that al-Qaeda in Iraq is still able to conduct highly visible attacks. It says the Iraqi security forces have performed adequately, but it says they have not improved enough to operate without outside help. We'll talk about the report this hour, and maybe even more so, Senator John Warner's call yesterday for troop withdrawals from Iraq. The former Republican chair of the Armed Services Committee and Navy president says President Bush should start bringing some troops home by Christmas, saying that this would send a powerful message to Iraqi leaders that U.S. commitment there is not open-ended. What do you think? Would this be a good idea or not to start bringing some troops home by Christmas? Do you think President Bush will listen to John Warner? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest this hour is Lawrence Korb, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress and former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So how big a deal is this, Senator Warner's call on President Bush to start taking or bringing some troops home?
Well, I think it's very important, the concept that the senior Republican statesman, former Secretary of the Navy, veteran of both Korea and World War II, says you've got to send the signal to the Iraqis by taking troops out. I think that's important. I don't know if 5,000 troops that he's talking about bring home by Christmas will really be much of a signal, because if you did that, you'd be down to 155,000, which would mean that a year ago you were at about 130,000. So, in effect, you'd have more troops at the end of this year than we had at the end of last year.
Yeah, it's he is not, Warner, going along with some sort of timetable either. He just says do this 5,000 withdrawal as sort of a symbolic move.
It is, and I think, I know Senator Warner, I mean, this is, I think, very typical of the way he operates. He's trying to send a signal, but he does not want to completely undermine a president of his own party and seem disloyal to the to the administration.
So was it this new intelligence report that that pushed Warner over the edge here to come to this conclusion?
Well, I think it is, because remember that the whole purpose of the surge, this increase up to, you know, almost, well, it's about 170,000 now because of the troop rotations, but to a permanent strength of about 160,000 from about 130,000, was to give the Iraqi government breathing space, this were the exact words, so that they could undertake the political reconciliation. Well, what has happened is, if anything, they've gotten less reconciled and less effective, and I think the NIE points that out. I mean, you have a government now where half the cabinet ministries are not filled and parliament is on vacation and the country's falling apart.
Yeah. Well, what's your analysis of Senator Warner's idea? Would this send a message to the Iraqi government? Would it do any good?
Well, I think you do need to send a message to the Iraqi government. I think you need to send a stronger message by setting a date to withdraw. I would, you know, say we ought to leave in the next 12 months. That would be the best thing to do, because that would enable us to get out in a deliberate manner, and that wouldn't endanger the troops any more than they're endangered right now, and would really give them the impetus they need to do what they're supposed to do. Now, people would say, well, they might not. That certainly is true, but I don't know what else we can do to get them to do what they need to do, because if they don't do it, it doesn't matter when you leave. If there's no reconciliation when you leave, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. What's the survey and Senator Warner's call going to do to the debate over U.S. Involvement in Iraq?
Well, I think it will get some Republicans who were on the fence, people like, for example, Senator Susan Collins from Maine, to move in that same direction. And I suspect that when the vote comes up, because, see, you're going to have the defense budget has to be voted on again, that people will adopt something along the lines of Warner, Lugar, Senator Lugar, who said something very similar in April, that tell the president to begin a withdrawal without setting a specific date for him to get out, or present a plan for getting out as well as begin a withdrawal.
We are talking about Republican Senator John Warner calling for troop withdrawals from Iraq. He is calling for President Bush to start bringing home some troops by Christmas, 5,000 troops, saying that this would send a powerful message to Iraqi leaders that U.S. commitment in Iraq is not open-ended. What do you think of Warner's idea? What questions do you have for our guest? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. We're talking about what Senator Warner had to say and talking about the new intelligence survey on progress in Iraq and talking about the future of the U.S. and Iraq during this hour. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Lawrence Korb, our guest, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, August the 24th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins after 5 o'clock. A treat for you, especially if you're a fan of Gene Faraca. Here on Earth, host Gene Faraca will join Ben at 5 o'clock to be interviewed. You can hear the interviewer be the interviewee. Call in and find out about the concept of Here on Earth and how this has made Gene a global citizen. So your questions for Gene Faraca coming up after 5 today. We're talking with Lawrence Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. We're talking about Senator John Warner calling for troop withdrawals from Iraq. What do you think of that? We are talking about the new intelligence survey out yesterday that says Iraqis have failed to govern effectively or reach the political compromises believed necessary to control sectarian violence there. We're talking some about that intelligence survey, and we'll talk some, too, about the future of Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki. And our lines are open, which shocks me. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you think of all this? Do you agree or not with Republican Senator John Warner? Does this make you hopeful that there could be some movement in terms of the troop withdrawal debate, or does that upset you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And now some calls are coming in, as I suspected, with a little prodding. Lawrence Korb, what about this Prime Minister Maliki? We have Hillary Clinton saying he should resign. We heard Carl Levin say he should be ousted. At first, we heard President Bush say he's a good guy doing a good job, but he's kind of backing off his support, too. What's happening with this? Is Maliki going to be in this job very much longer?
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that he's not an effective prime minister. The problem is, who would you replace him with? If you take a look at any of the other potential leaders, all of them have significant drawbacks as well. And the real problem is that you do not have a leader that can get the country together, a Karzai type, for example, as you had in Afghanistan. And the other problem you have is that the Shias, it has to be a Shia leader, they're about 65% of the population. They do not really want to make compromises with the Sunnis. They feel that they've been held down so long, they want to run the country, and the last thing they want to do is share power with the Sunnis. And so that's your problem, that you'd have to have a leader, a Shia, who would be able to convince his fellow Shias that they should be willing to share power with the Sunnis. I mean, to give you an example, one of the things we want them to do is to undo the de-Baathification law, which said anybody who's a member of the Ba'ath Party can't hold a job in government. Well, the vast majority of people just joined so that they could work for the government. They were not part of, you know, Saddam Hussein's cruel regime. Well, to pass that would get the Sunnis back into government. The Shias don't want to do that because they really feel that the Sunnis were all part of, you know, or went along willingly or unwillingly with what Saddam was doing to them. And until you do that, the Sunnis are not going to cooperate with you, and you're not going to have very good people to run the government.
Let's start taking some of our callers. Rick in Mequon. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good.
Hey, 2 points. One, you had a question about would George Bush listen to what Mr. Warner had to say? The answer to that is no, because George doesn't listen to anybody that doesn't agree with him. But on the point about bringing troops home, I agree that withdrawing them out of Iraq early is a good thing. Whether you keep I would prefer to see them stay in Kuwait or Germany or someplace like that, so if you did need them, they were nearby and not all the way across the, you know, transatlantic type thing. So I think sending them home, you know, pulling them out early is a good thing to do, and it does kind of set the tone that we're not just joking, guys. We're not going to be here forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lawrence Corbin?
Well, I think Rick makes two good points. Unfortunately, Bush does not seem to listen to people, even people of his own party, unless they agree with him. Unlike Lyndon Johnson, who, when things started to go bad in Vietnam, you know, brought in a group of what he called wise men and then decided to basically begin negotiations with the North Vietnamese, even though he did not, you know, want to admit his policies had failed. That's why I think it's going to have to be up to the Congress. I think with somebody like Warner, you might get the Congress to force the president's hand. And I agree with Rick. Those of us, I've been back in 2005, my colleague and I, Brian Katulis, wrote a monograph called Strategic Redeployment from Iraq, where we would redeploy our forces from Iraq but leave them in the region, because we do have interest in the region. And when we get out of Iraq, we can't leave the region, and we certainly could keep them in Kuwait. The Kuwaitis are still very grateful to us for having evicted the Iraqis back in 1991. You have bases in Bahrain and Qatar, and we can leave a carrier battle group and a Marine Expeditionary Force in the Persian Gulf.
Yeah. Speaking of President Bush and Vietnam, here's what he had to say earlier this week: why we shouldn't be withdrawing troops from Iraq. And he was comparing Iraq with Vietnam.
President Bush turned back the clock more than 30 years, invoking the long shadow of the Vietnam War and the U.S. withdrawal to make the case now for U.S. troops to stay in Iraq.
One unmistakable legacy of Vietnam is that the price of America's withdrawal was paid by millions of innocent citizens.
What do you make of that, Lawrence Corbin?
Well, again, I think he's being a little glib with the history. We did not withdraw from Vietnam. We had a peace agreement with the North Vietnamese. President Nixon, if you may remember, called it Peace with Honor in January 1973. And while everybody focuses on the, you know, the helicopters flying out from the roof of Saigon in 1975, we had already basically withdrawn. And what happened is that the South Vietnamese did not want to fight for their government, the South Vietnamese, because you never had a good government there that could inspire all of the people. And he also talked about, you know, what happened in Cambodia and Laos. Well, what happened is we intervened and undermined the governments in those places that allowed groups like the Khmer Rouge to come to power. And in terms, yes, there were terrible things that happened, but they were we were never in Cambodia. You know, I mean, we bombed it, but we were never there. And yes, things did happen in South Vietnam, and that's why President Ford took in 130,000 people from, you know, South Vietnam. And again, if you look now, we took in like 200 people from Iraq. In the last 6 months, we've got to do better than that.
Yeah. Mike in Appleton is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. My comment is you know, this whole thing of withdrawing. We're not going to withdraw from Iraq, and no politician, no matter what they say, is seriously thinking that. We're there for one purpose only, and that's oil. So what we should do is we should withdraw our troops, get them out of the line of fire, put them on the borders with Syria and Iran, which will put a clamp on Iran, and let the Iraqis figure it out and fight it out. But let's get our troops out of the way. Thanks.
Is that right? We're not going to leave because we want the oil, Lawrence Corb?
Well, I think we won't leave the region, and I think, you know, Mike has a good point. Our whole interest in that region, a lot of it is driven by the fact that it has so much oil. It's not just we're not just interested in Iraq. It's all of the areas, Saudi Arabia, for example, which is why we went to war to, you know, because of Kuwait. Kuwait wasn't and still isn't a democracy. It was that we did not want to have Saddam Hussein control all of the oil. Mike's other point, that a lot of people have argued that we ought to withdraw our troops from, you know, this civil war that they're involved in and just prevent Iran from coming in. I think until you get all your troops out of Iraq, you are not going to send the signal to people in that part of the world that you're not occupiers and you're not there just for the oil. So that's why I would favor getting out, but staying in the region where you're welcomed, in a place like Kuwait, or certainly you can keep your Marines and Navy offshore to prevent what Mike is talking about, the Iranians, for example, if they wanted to come in larger numbers.
Yeah. You know, I saw an analyst talking about this on television last night who said that whenever the U.S. leaves, whenever that may be, we ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to a civil war in Iraq, because that's when it's going to happen, no matter if it's soon or way down the road.
Well, again, I think obviously you can't predict the future and things could happen. But if you look at it in sort of cold, hard analysis, nobody's going to bother the Kurds when we leave. I mean, the Kurds are pretty well, you know, on their own. And you've got the Sunnis and Shias then, in which you'd have this civil war. I don't think Al-Qaeda is going to be, the foreigners are going to be very welcome. The Iraqis don't like foreigners, and I think once we're out, they're going to get rid of those people or not welcome them. And the Shias are not unified enough where you've got one Shia group against the Sunnis. The Shias are divided among themselves, so I don't see any force to come in and you know, basically have what people are talking about, a genocide. Now, will there be violence? Yeah, I think there's going to be violence until though they come to some agreement about what kind of state they want to have, the powers of the central government and the provincial government, the role of minorities, women's rights, the role of religion, all of these questions.
I got to jump in because we have to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Friday, August the 24th. Happy to have you along. A new intelligence survey out yesterday says Iraq, the Iraqi government, has failed to govern effectively or reach the political compromises believed necessary to control sectarian violence. It reported that some progress had been made militarily, but that violence was still overall very high, and that the sectarian divisions remain, and that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is still able to conduct highly visible attacks. On the heels of that report being issued, Republican Senator John Warner made a call for troop withdrawals from Iraq. The former chair of the Armed Services Committee and Navy Secretary says President Bush should start bringing some troops home, 5,000 troops home perhaps, by Christmas. office, saying this would send a message to the Iraqi leaders to shape up and that the U.S. Commitment is not open-ended. What do you think of this? What questions do you have for our guest? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Lawrence Korb, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress and former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. In the newscast, Lawrence Korb, we heard that Bush administration was thanking John Warner for his suggestion and saying that the president will wait for General Petraeus's report in mid-September. Your reaction to that?
Well, again, General Petraeus is going to talk about the military situation. And John Warner obviously was saying that, you know, even if military has improved somewhat, the fact that the Iraqi government is not doing its job, you need to send a signal to them. I mean, the president has been putting everything on General Petraeus for the last several months, sort of leading to the impression that it's General Petraeus' strategy, not his strategy. No, General Petraeus is in charge of tactics. The president is in charge of the strategy. And really what he should have said is that they would wait till Ambassador Crocker would see what he says, because he's going to comment about, you know, what the Iraqi government is doing.
Mm-hmm. What is General Petraeus's report likely to say?
I think what his report will say is what the National Intelligence Estimate said yesterday, that, you know, security is getting better in some areas, and that he would like to continue this troop, so-called troop surge, for at least 6 more months. I mean, what's happened is we keep moving the goalposts, because when the president announced the surge in January, he said, well, we'll give it 6 months and see if the Iraqis do what they need to do. Well, it's been actually 9 months, and the Iraqis haven't done anything. But what they'll try and do is say, well, you know, the commander wants some more troops, so let's, you know, keep it going for another six months. Even if you wanted to do that after 6 months, you don't have enough troops. So even whether you're for the surge or against the surge, within 6 months, you've got to begin withdrawing the troops.
You know, I also wanted to get your reaction to this in the news today. Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki warned the Bush administration after talks with longtime U.S. adversaries in Syria that Iraq can find friends elsewhere if Washington doesn't like how he runs his country.
Well, I mean, I think what he was saying is, you know, I have some cards to play, too. You're concerned about the Iranians. Don't forget that Prime Minister Maliki had lived in Iran, and the Shias that are dominating Iraq are also the Shias dominate Iran, that, you know, we can turn to them. So you better not be, you know, out there criticizing us. I mean, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, Maliki has said, wait a second, you can't, you know, we're a sovereign country, we had our elections, and you can't tell us to meet these benchmarks, even though he and Bush had agreed upon them last November. And I think he's, you know, he feels pressured because he knows he can't meet these so-called 18 benchmarks, and he's trying to say that, you know, the price for you pushing me on this is to increase Iran's domination. And, you know, that's the, you know, the key thing. I mean, if you look concerned about the balance of power in the region, you don't want to see the Iranians dominate the region, because that is a real, real problem and would make the situation in Iraq seem comparatively small.
Back to the phones. Bernie in Whitewater. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I think it's tough for the Iraqis to take control of their country when there's a foreign military occupier, namely the United States there, who came in with no moral authority and no defensive reason to be there, uninvited foreign invasion and occupation. And I think I can translate when people in our Defense Department, et cetera, talk about the Iraqi government not doing what it needs to do. What that means is the people in the Iraqi government are not doing what the power brokers in our government want them to do. And they are resisting, the prime minister and the parliament in Iraq are resisting what's one of the benchmarks. Has nothing to do with sectarian squabbling. It has to do with 80% of their oil wealth being transferred to corporations, which you'll hear about, say, on Democracy Now!, but you won't hear about it you know, in the New York Times or on, you know, major media. And basically, these people are just saying, look, we don't want our oil wealth being taken away. And surprisingly, what we thought would be a compliant government is resisting. And based on that, I have no doubt that the United States government is going to replace this prime minister at some point in time under pretext of, you know, he's too partisan, he can't government, et cetera. And eventually, I expect the U.S. to split Iraq into three regions, again, under the pretext of they can't get along. Well, what it really is we want to control the oil resources, and we're going to make sure they're so weak and divided they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, what do you make of Bernie's...
Bernie raises a lot of points. A lot of people, take his last take, if I can take them in reverse. I mean, his last point, I mean, the Iraqis may end up, in three, sort of what people call partition, where you'd have almost three separate states with a very loose central government. This is something that has been urged by Senator Biden.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is if they want to do that, that's fine, but I don't think you can have sort of a made in America thing. And I think there are some practical problems. For example, you have a big city like Baghdad, which has 6 million people, has a mixture of all the groups. And so I don't know if you tell, you know, all the Shias to move south, the Sunnis to move north. I mean, I just know that that's practical, but they may do, you know, they may do that. There's no doubt about the fact that the Iraqis resent us as an occupying power. They did the same thing when the British came in there in, right during World War One, and the British ended up, was not too happy when they left. They had an awful lot of casualties, and we're paying a price for not having a plan for what to do after Saddam Hussein fell. And yes, we had a lot to do with Maliki getting in. We did not like the first choice of the Iraqis, which was a man by the name of Jafri. And so Maliki does look like he, you know, is beholden to the United States, and I think he's trying to prove that he is not. And I agree that until we leave, a lot of these problems and these perceptions of us, you know, coming there for the oil are going to linger. And Bernie has a point. I mean, when people talk about the hydrocarbon law, the oil law, there are two issues. One is the distribution among the various regions of Iraq, and the other is, will you allow foreign oil companies, a lot of whom are United States, to come in and get involved in getting the oil and obviously getting some of the profits?
Yeah. Does Maliki, what is his stand on that law?
Well, I think the cabinet has sent the law to the parliament, how they would distribute the revenues. The problem is that the oil is in the Kurdish areas and the Shia areas and not where the majority of the Sunnis are. And so they would like to get some of the money, even though they don't have the oil. The Shias and Kurds obviously would like to say, no, we're going to keep the revenues we make from the oil in our region.
Mm-hmm.
The parliament agreed to distribute it. But, I mean, the cabinet has, but the parliament hadn't voted on it because, again, it's interesting. You know, we talk about red states and blue states. In Iraq, you didn't have an election. You had a census. People, all Shias voted for the Shia candidates, Sunnis for the Sunnis, and the Kurds for the Kurds. So it's very hard for the people in the parliament to make these compromises because when they go back home, there's nobody going to say, well, you know, 40% of the people are not going to be happy, you know, if they do something that goes against their constituents' interests.
Talking with Lawrence Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, former assistant secretary of defense in the Reagan administration, talking about the new intelligence survey out yesterday about progress in Iraq, military and the progress of the government. And we're talking about Senator John Warner's call to start withdrawing troops from Iraq, at least a small number, to send a message to the Iraqi government. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If you have a thought about this or a question for our guest, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our regular Friday Week in Review. We'll welcome in two guests from different political perspectives to talk with you about the most significant political news stories of the week. That's coming up after 8. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock right now on this Friday, August the 24th. We're talking about Iraq during this hour. The latest news about Iraq, including a call from an influential Republican senator, John Warner, saying President Bush should start bringing some troops home by Christmas to send a message to Iraqi leaders that U.S. commitment in Iraq is not open-ended. Bruce in Milwaukee is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask Secretary Korb some longer-range question, because I think that what we've had is 7 years of a demolition crew as far as the military is concerned, as well as other aspects of the American economy. And if you're planning for a rebuilding of an injured military force, what exactly do you think that we ought to be doing in the long run to reestablish ourselves after this terrible hemorrhage in Iraq?
Well, I think Bruce makes a good comment. And one of the reasons people, for example, like Senator Lugar, Republican from Indiana, had told the president a couple of months ago, you got to begin withdrawing, is that what it's doing to our army. I mean, what these repeated and extended deployments have really caused severe long-term problems. For example, retention rates among West Point graduates after they finish their initial five-year obligation is lower than it has been in 30 years. So that what that means is your next generation of leaders are not going to be as good as you might like them to be. In order for the Army to meet its recruiting goals in this very, very, you know, difficult recruiting environment, because the American people have turned against the war and they're discouraging their sons and daughters from joining the Army, the Army has had to lower its standards to people that they take in terms of educational aptitude, prior criminal records. For example, last year the Army gave waivers to 900 people who had felony convictions and took them in. Well, you take in people like that, that's not that's going to cause you long-term problems. So it's going to take us a while to rebuild it, and I think what's going to have to happen is the next president, whoever he or she may be, is going to have to renew the social contract with the men and women in the armed services. And what we've told them is, if you volunteer for service and we send you to combat, if you're there for a year, we're going to allow you 2 years at home. They're not doing that right now. In fact, they've got the Army people there 15 months, and they're lucky they get 12 months back at home. Well, that just is too much to ask of people. We never even kept people on 12 months in Vietnam or Korea. So Bruce is right. I mean, the sooner we can extract ourselves from Iraq, we can begin rebuilding the Army, not to mention the big equipment bill that we're going to have to pay, because when you buy a tank or a truck, you assume it's going to last you for so many years. Well, obviously, they've been wearing out much more rapidly in Iraq, and we're going to have to, what the Army and Marines call, reset the Army, and that bill is going to be at least $100 billion.
Yeah. I can't remember now who it was who was suggesting that the draft was always on the table, but then, of course, the administration said there's no way we're going to start a military draft.
Well,
again,
in fact, it was his own advisor for Iraq and Afghanistan, Lieutenant General Lute.
That's it, yeah.
And again, you know, General Lute had a terrific point. See, when we created the volunteer military, and you know, I had some involvement in when we did that, you know, the idea was that you'd have a small active duty army. The Guard and Reserve would be a bridge to conscription if you had a long war. I mean, we did not, you know, we never intended for the Army to fight a prolonged ground war. And so, because we don't want to go to that third step, we overused the Guard and Reserve. And the active army has been terribly strained because they haven't been able to, you know, get them at home long enough. Can you imagine? You spend 15 months in Iraq, you come back, and you know you're going back in a year. Mm-hmm. You just don't have time. I mean, the idea was you get 1 year to kind of what we would call recuperate, and then another year to get ready to go back.
Yeah. Thanks, Bruce, for the call. Bruce in Deerfield. Hi, you're on the air.
Bruce?
I'm sorry, Bill.
Yeah. Okay. Hello. This morning at 4 o'clock, I heard on the BBC a reporter in Basra talking about the British getting out of that section of Iraq. And he said that it's likely that General Petraeus is going to ask for 75,000 additional troops. Well, can you foresee anything like that?
Well, even if General Petraeus wanted 75,000 additional troops, you don't have 75,000 additional troops. But what I understand is that when the British leave, General Petraeus would like to transfer some of the troops that he has down to Basra. And I think that illustrates the whole difficulty of Iraq, because Basra is in the south. They're all Shias, but you've got different Shias fighting each other. So what we're there, you know, everybody talks about us fighting al-Qaeda. Yeah, al-Qaeda's there, but you've got Shias fighting Shias and Sunnis, Kurds, and Arabs. You have four or five conflicts going on at once. And if you can't stabilize the south where you have all Shias, you've got to kind of wonder, can you ever stabilize the whole country no matter how long you stay?
Yeah, so maybe we don't have 75,000 troops to add to...
Not 75,000 more troops, but I think my understanding is that General Petraeus would like to shift some of the troops from some of the areas where theoretically were under control. The problem with that is that, as the NIE pointed out, the Iraqi security forces are not ready to take over, so it ends up, as the kids would say, playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Steve in Beach Park, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good.
I'm listening to Senator Warner's speech, and I don't know, it seems like he's kind of a little late coming on the camp with the people who are opposing this occupation, this immoral war in Iraq. I think he senses which way the wind is going, and with the majority, the great majority of Americans opposing the war, I think he's joining the bandwagon. Protect his own interests. I teach high school, and when I talk about the war in Iraq with my high school students, they're very, very perceptive. Some of the students have said that they perceive the U.S. military as taking the role of the Redcoats in occupying the American colonies during the Revolutionary War, and that the different groups of people in Iraq, Shias, Kurds, whatever, are like the patriots defending their own country against the foreign occupier. And they also see the reason why we're there is for corporate finance and profits, just like the British were in America. And I'm at a loss to remember the gentleman's name, but there was a British member of parliament during the Revolutionary War that warned the British parliament that we need to leave America at a time of our own choosing, before we have to leave America at a time that's not convenient for us. And I think my students are really seeing the light on this. They're showing me that they're more aware than I thought they were. And we're seeing an analogy here.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence Clark.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's one of the great things about this country, Steve, is the young people, you know, they are much more perceptive. And some of us get older, we kind of get locked in our positions. I think it was Burke that said that. And that, you know, the British, you know, needed to take control of their own destiny. And this is something we've argued at the center for the last couple of years. The United States needs to take control, because right now our fate is in the hands of the Iraqis. And we're saying, you know, we'll stand down when you stand up. Well, as Senator Warner said, they show no inclination to stand up. And your students are right. The one thing that unites all the various factions in Iraq is they want us to leave. I mean, over 70% of the people there think we're causing the problems. And what's really scary is about 60% say it's okay to kill Americans, because they do see us as an occupying power. And so, yeah, I mean, if you understand the history of what happens, and, you know, I came across a quote from Eisenhower yesterday, which, you know, didn't surprise me, but I think says it. And he says that, "The United States has no business transforming itself into an occupying power in a seething Arab world. And if we ever do so, I'm sure we would regret it."
Yeah. Steve also said that he thought that Warner's call was a little too little too late, and he just senses which way the wind is blowing and is doing this for his own political cover.
I don't think so. I mean, Warner has a safe seat in Virginia, and I would be surprised even if he runs again. He'll be 80 years old, you know, and I don't think he'd be running again. And even if he did, he would not have much opposition. I think this is typical Senator Warner. He's trying to move the president in sort of, if you will, like a statesman way, rather than challenging him directly as, you know, other people might do. And this is pretty much the way he operates, which is one of the reasons why he's, you know, respected, I think, on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get a quick one in. Jim in Manitowoc, we're just about out of time. What's on your mind?
Yes, would the speaker please comment on the 175,000 M16s that are missing and the millions of rounds of ammunition? Is that true?
Yeah,
it is. Why don't we hear about it?
Well, it's true, and again, this is what's happened. We're arming the Iraqis, and the Iraqis are sending those arms to criminals and insurgents, and we don't know where they are, and they end up killing each other and sometimes killing us.
Yeah. Well, we'll let you let the dog out, Lawrence Korb. Thanks very much for being with us.
Okay, sure thing, George.
Lawrence Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. We appreciate his time and his expertise, as always. And we thank Karen Prager for producing this hour and for all of your calls. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store 1-800-747-7444. You can also listen to our talk shows archived on our website through your computer at any time, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.